Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an All-Star start over him.
You are now Angelo Didalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio, and this one, Wrestling Edition. We are here with me, as always, Angelo. How are you?
What's up? How's it going, Alex?
Yeah, all good. WrestleMania in the books. And Raw is in the books as well, because we didn't get to record on Monday. We are only going on Tuesday. So we got to see Raw as well. I'm not sure if we're gonna delve deep into that. Maybe just go for WrestleMania.
There's a few things. Yeah. That we need to delve into.
But not much
from WrestleMania. No, not much.
Yeah. But yeah, what did you think of this year's WrestleMania?
I am hazard to say maybe this is recency bias. In fact, this might be very recency bias, but that might be one of the best WrestleManias I've ever seen, if not the best.
I mean, I gotta agree with you. I've watched, I don't know, I think the first WrestleMania that I might have watched was WrestleMania 22 or 23. And from that point till here, I think this is definitely the best WrestleMania. Just the storylines, the matches were pretty good as well for the most part. But yeah, storyline definitely trumped it all. Mm-hmm. And it was a very emotional. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And it was a very emotional Mania. And major, I'll start off by giving props to someone that isn't a wrestler, but is very involved in the show. And I gotta say, I mean, whoever chose to hire Samantha Hervin as the announcer, nailed, man. It's like they gave the ultimate fan a microphone and just said, go wild. courtside passes for every single event. Go wild.
Yeah, I watched WrestleMania with a buddy, and before the event started, he asked the question, I wonder if Samantha Irving's doing it or the other one. He doesn't even know who the other announcer is. That's how good Samantha Irving is. And
I also don't know who the other one is. So.
Oh, no. quality. But regardless, no, she definitely deserved it. She, so for some of the matches, he said, and I don't know if this is true to you or not. So for the opening and the main events, they did this thing where they had both competitors in the ring, and then Samantha announced each one individually, and they had the nameplate show as she was announcing them. He said that gave it a very video game type vibe. Do you agree with that, that those intros kind of had like a video game kind of presentation and vibe to it?
Yeah, I think a lot of the elements in this year's Mania were very video game-like. For example, the intros prior to the match as well, like the video package, especially the Usos one, I thought it was very WWE.
I don't know if it's controversial things to say, but I have a lot of things to say about that Usos match.
We'll get there. Yeah. But I think there were a lot of influences of video games throughout the whole of WrestleMania. That's definitely one point. The Rock's intro is another point.
That's something I actually want to talk about, because I didn't realize it until it was in front of me at Mania, is how good they did at making the big heels entrances just from the song, the big heels entrances feel like they were an unstoppable force. Like Imperium, Gunther's entrance music feels like it belongs in like a World War II Nazi Germany like game or movie or sci. It does.
I mean, that's a bit what they were, especially at the beginning. I think it was very like Germany heavy.
And Roman Reigns kind of has this like epic villain intro music. Like the opening scene of a epic video game where you see the villain kill someone at the start, that's kind of Roman Reigns' vibe. Like, it's great. They even changed the Rock. They changed the Rock's, and I think it sounds better. It makes him feel more...
For a heel, definitely. I mean, this theme song is perfect, and the whole entrance is perfect for heel Rock.
Yes.
It's really the final boss. And they did a great job at portraying that in the matches as well, but we'll get there. But by the outcome of the match of main event of night one, I think they really made a point on showing who's really the boss or the final boss by ending the match the way they did. And yeah, I mean, but we'll start from the top, I think.
Because I don't want to give away all of my talking points.
Let's just go from the top. So night one opens with the list that we gave on the preview show
was pretty accurate.
I think it was just 100% accurate, actually. I think we gave out the whole list in correct order, so props to Meltzer for that. You got props for one thing. And we start with Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Intros were killers. I liked Rhea's entrance a whole lot.
Loved Becky's attire. Live. It fit her so
and
well.
Becky's like the intro prior to the entrance with the book. And our outfit having like pages of the book as well. I thought it was really great.
Adjusted, yeah.
Very Stone Cold-like back in WrestleMania. I want to say it was 13, the one in which he came through the glass. And she comes through her book. The AR book. I thought it was very Austin inspired. The match, as I said, because I gave you my quick review of the night one, I didn't do so for night two. The match was good to okay. I don't think it was the best match that these two could put together. I think there were things missing in the matchup. I thought and apparently Becky was, I'm not sure if it's kayfabe with a flu or something like that. She had very high fevers, according to commentary, and she had a sore throat or something like that. I'm not sure if it was kayfabe or if she was really ill. But I think it showed a bit that she wasn't 100%. It was still a good match. But what did you think then? You seem to really like it.
I think it really showcased like Becky's physic, or not Becky's physicality, Rhea's physicality, and like the way she was able to dominate Becky for large portions of the match. It showed that Becky was like transitioning to somewhat of a wily veteran with the way that she escaped the Riptide. I think a thing with this pay-per-view, and I think it's okay, is we saw a lot of finisher kickouts. Becky kicked out of the Riptide. I think that's the first time we saw it all year. We saw Sammy kick out of the Powerbomb. We saw Cody kick out of this. I think that's okay for WrestleMania as long as you build it up, build the finishers up throughout the year. And I think all the finishers that got kicked out of were very protected and very built up to WrestleMania, and made WrestleMania feel different. But regardless, Becky feels like she's transitioning to a phase where she's more of a wily veteran, or closer to a wily veteran, because a lot of the moves and escapes she did showed her experience over Rhea.
Yeah, I thought the match... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I did think the finish of the Riptide into the buckle into a Riptide was very good, too.
Yeah, I thought the match was basically like a tale of a very strong wrestler versus a very more agile and quicker wrestler. So I thought that they were going for that angle quite a bit. I mean, there were some great spots in that match. The one in which they go over the top rope into the electric chair that Rhea
does on the outside.
That was just nuts. And just really displayed the strain of Rhea. And then, yeah, the Riptide to the core, to the turnbuckle. And then on the middle of the ring.
I don't know if it was lost on you, but did you see the spot? I think it was actually just before the finish, too. The spot where Becky was in the same situation Charlotte was in last Mania with Rhea, and she got out of it. Where she was at the top of the turnbuckle. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, I mean, overall, good match. The angle of Becky just constantly going for the arm of Rhea Ripley, trying to immobilize it, also play the part here. I just thought that, like, if Becky was 100%, the match would have been even better. But that's not taking away from the match. That was good. It was a good opener.
It was a very good opener. I think it was one of the best three matches on night one. I think night one did have a few disappointments, but night two is just stacked. There's only one match that I don't even want to talk about for night two. But
it's the third best match for me of night one. So
Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, no, it was a good match. Go on.
Okay. Then that follows the six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. So they did split the titles. But weirdly enough, A-Town Down Under actually got one set of titles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a match. It wasn't that big. And Awesome Truth got the other one. It wasn't as big of a clusterfuck as I thought it would be.
No. Actually, I really loved this match. I'm
not sure if I would say it's my fourth best match. I'll tell you that.
If this WrestleMania wasn't one of the best WrestleManias, this is like a night stealer, the way it played out. I do.
I don't know. I think the match in itself wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. And although it wasn't as big of a clusterfuck as I thought it would be, it was still kind of a clusterfuck at times. There were a lot of men involved. There were a lot of spots that they were trying to do.
This would have been a main event AEW match if you did this.
I mean, yeah, but you're comparing a good company to WCW 2.0. So it's not that tough.
Oh.
and I'm talking late stages.
But there were a lot of really good spots. Finn took multiple bumps on the ladder. I forgot the moves that even he took at least two. I was like, oh my God, Finn, what are you doing? The JD McDonald, he kind of missed it, but he was supposed to go through both tables. He went through, and JD McDonald getting thrown off you had the, what was it that Tommaso Ciampa did to, I believe it was Finn Balor off the top of the ladder?
Oh, yeah, it was his finisher.
That was ridiculous. Yeah, the Johnny Gargano DDT into the table. Like, just go on. And then you had the finish where R-Truth got his WrestleMania moment. This was a good match, bro.
The ending was pretty good.
This was a good match, bro.
Maybe I'm thinking it too hard because I didn't like A Town Down Under getting a set of belts. I would much rather see it on too. Like DIY. Yeah, and they were basically taken out of the match. It became a five-pack team ladder match. Tag team ladder match after that.
Yeah, after they got it. Because what's his face? Not Austin Theory.
No, it was Grayson.
Grayson Waller. Yeah, he took a bump through. He took a.
Yes, true
there's,
leather.
There's spots I'm missing. This, I'm just saying, this was a really good.
Now, like, there were good spots and there were good moments. I just thought maybe taking out a team could make this match a bit better because the match had like 18 minutes and they had like 12 men involved. So I thought it was like going from spot to spot to spot to spot to spot to spot.
It was a spot fest. You are right.
Which it isn't the worst thing, but it's. I wanted a bit more after the first match. I thought like the first match was miles above this, and I didn't thought the first match was like excellent. So
I don't know. This was a pretty good ladder match that in recent years for WWE. This is a good. Go ahead.
It's my fourth match. I'm not saying it's the worst of the night or anything. I just wanted something more here.
With the worst, I really do.
No, I think we'll have the same as the worst one.
Okay, go on.
It was really shit. And I think most people will agree with us from what I've seen so far. Okay, so after that, we have Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Fun match at times. But I thought, like, this was rushed for Mania. Yeah. I thought the build for this was like non-existent. And then, I mean,
so like
got the shit popped for Kelsey and the other lineman, which I can't remember the name now.
Lane Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson. But other than that, I mean, it was an okay match. Like,
I feel like they kind of disregarded that whole storyline of deception in the ranks of the LWO and just in favor of a good moment with Kelsey and Lane and Ray and the LWO.
I really think they might have pivoted because the news of Kelsey came relatively late into the week, into WrestleMania week. So I'm not. We had predicted, I floated around the idea, and you really liked it, of Carlito turning. I'm not sure if that wasn't the idea because that was heavily hinted and they just pivoted last minute to Kelsey for the pop, and with Kelsey you had to give the babyface the win. So
how'd you feel about an Eagles player making you wrong again?
They rarely do. Weren't they fraud last year, as I said, all season?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Philly, the crowd for night one in general was really shitty, man. They had a really bad crowd for night one. Night two was a bit better.
Listen,
I
had a theory while I was watching. I don't know if it happened with yours, but when they were doing the presentation for the like foundations that they were sponsoring, I could have swore that either the crowd was silent or they muted them because they were booing, and I'm not sure which one happened.
Knowing Philly fans, it's probably the latest.
Just saying.
But yeah, like, match was okay-ish. Didn't really do anything for me. It was more of a filler than anything else. What did you think?
Yeah, It wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah. Right. It had cool spots. Like, Dom is really evolving into a fairly good wrestler, to be honest. Yeah. Andrade, Rey, like, I think the pivot to Andrade, because this match was supposed to be Dragon Lee, not Andrade.
I'm not going to lie to you, dude. I couldn't tell who was on whose team. I couldn't.
They are similar, Santos and Andrade,
I couldn't, dude. I could tell Andrade. I could not tell Dragon Lee from, like, Joaquin. I couldn't. I don't know.
But yeah, this feels like a pivot, like Andrade comes in as well. Like, I don't know if Dragon Lee was taken out by a Carlito or something, and that's an angle they're exploring later, or if it was just something that we're never gonna get an explanation for, and they really just wanted Andrade on the show. So, yeah. It happened. It was an okay match. We move. And it's followed by, and this, I think you will agree, it's the worst match of the night for me. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. Has to be, like, the promo, the video package prior to the match starting was so good. It was just so much better than whatever we got.
Jey Uso had Lil Wayne out there.
Oh my god. Lil Wayne just trying to rap, that looked really... I usually like... I like him.
Lil Wayne's a good lyrics, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best rappers to me. Like, in general. But that just fell flat on his face.
Here's the... I'm just going to go on a whole ass rant, dude, about this. Because here's the thing. Like, we've seen Jey Uso have good moments. Like, good matches. He had a great match with frickin' Roman, is an example.
With Seth as well.
Seth as well, yeah. And I think this fell so flat and made Jey look so bad on multiple angles. Like, the ending where he fell for freaking Jimmy again. And I get it, dude. I get what they were trying to relay. Like, yeah, he screwed me out of all these titles. Yeah, he's treated me terribly, but it's still my brother, dude. And then he fell for it. And then he fell for it. And I'm just like, dude, you look like a fucking idiot right now. Honestly, I would have been happier if they would have ended the match there and had Jimmy win on that. I thought you did too. In that moment, I thought you did too. But no, they made Jey look stupid. And then they had him come back and win that match. Like, and not only that, I don't think, like, one of the things Roman is so good at is, like, facial expressions. We'll get to this later, but the spear on the Rock, the look on Roman's face after he speared the Rock was just great. And I don't think Jey, like, showed the right emotion to be like, I want to finish Jimmy off. I want to hit this kick, but he's my brother. I don't think that came across. I don't.
Yeah.
And so he kind of looked stupid. He didn't look as conflicted as he should have been. And it was just all bad. And not only that, they both basically have the same moveset.
Yeah. I was going to say, part of the reason as to why this wasn't, that why this was a really bad match. I was going to say it was not that good, but no, it was a really bad match. It's because, like in boxing, you have a saying of styles make fights. Styles actually make fights in wrestling as well, and it's like they are too similar. They do the same exact things. So you just ended up with a super kick fest. It's just like super kick this way, super kick that way, super kick this way, super kick that way. Then you do the splash. Then you have the other one do the splash.
The way I thought about it is, like, it's if AEW and WWE combined and had a match. And then you took the worst parts of AEW and the worst parts of WWE and put it in a match.
Yeah. Prior to us start talking about this match, I was going to say this was a terrible WWE WrestleMania 40 match. This would have been the main event of a prime, I don't know, pay-per-view in AEW, because no, this is what AEW loves. Just
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I can't believe I'm going to say this. It needed a stipulation to it. Like, they needed to be hitting themselves with something, because, Jake tried to sell it early. And that's what makes the ending so much more stupid. Jay tried to sell it early. Like, he was pissed. He was mad. He didn't even let Jimmy finish his entrance. He jumped right on him and started at him. And then he hesitated at the end. I don't know.
All right. But I think you have it flipped. Wasn't Jimmy the one who got pissed and went into there running? Cut his entrance short.
Jimmy came out second. They did a flying dive onto Jimmy to start the match.
Okay,
while Jimmy was doing his entrance. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, terrible match overall. This is your worst match of the night, right?
Yeah.
You cut off? Did I cut off?
Oh, no, I cut off. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. No, I was asking. This is your worst match of the night, right?
Yes. Not because it was actually the worst match, but because I expected more from both of the people in it. I think they could have done so much better.
Yeah, I agree. Just absolutely terrible. I thought it was terrible at the start. Everyone seems to think it was terrible as well. So I guess it's just unanimous. But hey, they got the WrestleMania spot. They managed to get the one-on-one while the Bloodline thing was going. So happy for them. The outcome wasn't great.
Yeah.
After that, we have the six-woman tag match. And oh boy, that was something.
Yeah,
Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi beat Damage Control. So it started with, if I'm not mistaken, Naomi and Asuka. And then it went to Belair and Kairi Sane. I believe that was the order. And then Jade jumped in. The crowd was really hot for Jade. Jade still looks like a million bucks. The entrance was great. The entrance of both teams was pretty good. But Jade, Bianca, and Naomi had the best entrance by far. And yeah, the crowd was really pulling for Jade. Jade got the tag. And she still looks kind of stiff at times. Like, it was, if R-Truth didn't get the yacht tag in his sixth back tag team ladder match, Jade would have had, we forgot to mention that, but that's just great. I mean, everything in regards to R-Truth is great, especially when you know the story of him almost losing a limb by the injuries that he had.
We forgot the part
back.
Where he did John Cena's entire moveset and got a 1-2-3.
Yeah. The five moves of doom from John, from his childhood hero, John Cena. but yeah, if that hadn't happened, then Jade would have had the oddest hot tag in the whole of WrestleMania, because that was just power move after power move after power move. But she still looks really stiff. Maybe she needs more work, but it seems like they're transitioning her straight to Raw or SmackDown. She had a match on Raw, a very big squash on Chelsea Green. I don't know. The idea of Jade Cargill seems to be better than Jade Cargill, actually. What did you think?
I think you're about right on that. Not that she's terrible or that she's going to be terrible, but she has work to do. Her moveset is very impressive. She's strong as fuck. And she got the pin. I don't care. I still think Damage Control should have got this win. That's just me. And it would have made the angle with Bayley and Io look a lot better, especially depending on how they're going to transition this.
Damage Control is sort of that, dude.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because this is a very Triple H type of team. These are all women that he brought to the team through NXT that he worked very closely with. So it's weird that the angle that they're going for seems to be that this is sort of died down, because they took two big L's on WrestleMania. They haven't been particularly great otherwise. So yeah, I didn't understand why you would put them over. I never thought it would happen with Jade. Jade debuting just couldn't take She didn't necessarily need to take the pin, but the team just couldn't lose with Jade. So I thought this went about as I expected. I just hoped Jade would be a tad bit better in ring than she was. But yeah, she still needs a lot of work, and they seem to really want to transition her to the next level already, and I'm not so sure if she's ready for that. Because, again, this was an 8-minute spot in which I thought they might have had like 15, 12 to 15. They got 8 minutes. The match was done in 8 minutes. She had maybe two or three, and we're both sitting here saying that in 2 or 3 minutes, it really showed that she still has some deficiencies in her matches. So it's not boding too well for her.
You're right.
Yeah, she looks like $1 million. That's looks are a lot right now. Like, if this was the Attitude Era, she probably wouldn't really go anywhere because her mic skills are also kind of meh. But I mean, she has the.
Yeah, I didn't think China's mic skills were very good either, and she got.
But China had DX though, so. And I'm not really seeing a team like that in which she could come in and, like, not be second fiddle to. So it's hard right now for her. But yeah, I mean, it depends on the push. It depends on the work that she puts in. But I'm not impressed right now. She has the looks. She has the power moves. I mean, she's strong as fuck, as you said. But still, wished she was a tad bit better right now. In which probably was the best match of the night, we have one of the shortest match, which is funny because this match seemed much longer than it was. And this was this match had 15 minutes and 30 seconds, which is the fourth shortest match. Or fourth longest, however you want to call it. It's the match right there in the middle. Sami Zayn beats the historic reign of over 600 days of Gunther. And that match. Best match of the night, right?
It wasn't the best wrestling match of the night, but it told the best story. Like,
I thought it was flipped.
I wish they would have taken this much care with the Jimmy J match to tell, like, not to tell the same story, but to tell, like, a good story, because at the start, they showed Sammy. He didn't want his kid watching. He wanted Chad Gable by his side. And Chad Gable had to reassure him, yeah, we've done the training. We've done the work. You've got this. And then he came in and he got his ass fucking beat. Like, bad. Like, worse than I've ever seen.
But he persevered.
Yeah. I thought it was over with a double powerbomb. I'm not going to lie. I really did.
I thought so as well. But I mean, the story behind it, just like the whole story of Sami Zayn, from going from basically losing to the guys from Jackass in one Mania, going to main eventing the Mania 2, losing to Roman, not managing to get that one, that big moment of getting that
Johnny
pile.
Knoxville.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville and the rest of the crew at Jackass. And finally concludes with him finally defeating the odds, in which probably was one of his biggest hurdles, and he beats Gunther. Not only beats Gunther, but he beats him with the Brain Buster. That's a callback. I don't think he ever did that, even in NXT. The Brain Buster on the turnbuckle, yeah. That was just a sick move. Like, Jesus Christ, man. That was one heck of a move. Great sell by Gunther as well. I mean, just getting into that position, getting a guy like Gunther in that position, I mean, it requires effort from both guys. And then, yeah, he hits two Aluva kicks, gets the win, very emotional win for him. And yeah, I thought it was the best match of the night, to be honest. Just, it's not the best story, and that's why we have it flipped. You said it was the best story, if I'm not mistaken, not the best wrestling match. I thought the Bloodline had the best story, but it wasn't the best of matches. So, yeah.
I thought the Bloodline match was really good.
I thought so as well, but I didn't think it was better than Sami Zayn and Gunther. Right now, it's Sami is the first match. Bloodline is second. Rhea Ripley is third for me. In night one.
Interesting.
I'm assuming you have Bloodline as the best match of the night.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this one?
Just amazing work by Gunther, amazing work by Sami. And like, at the end, if you weren't rooting for Sami, you don't have a heart, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Like, but again, as I said, I believe I said this in the preview show, I think fans will turn on Sami pretty quick. Or if not turning, then at least become indifferent to him fairly quick now that he has the title, to be honest.
I don't know. If you saw Raw, it seems like they're trying to turn Gable heel. And it seems like Gable and Sami might be one of the first his first IC title defense, or one of them. First,
yeah, it's gonna be for next week, if I'm not mistaken, because Raw is in Canada, so they are having a match there. I saw that promo for Chad. I don't know, it felt sort of weird because it really felt like they were trying to push some sort of heel turn for him. But like prior in the match, they had a tag team match versus Imperium. And like Gable didn't really do anything against Sami, and the whole segment of the promo that he cut late last night, you had who's the other guy? I always forget his name. Otis, is it Otis?
Oh,
it is
Otis. Yeah,
yeah. Was just like cracking jokes while he was cutting the promo. So I don't know. It feels like that team isn't really suited for being heels. I know Otis has played heel before. It just doesn't really mix well with me. So maybe they are just trying to run a segment of him being sort of an anti-hero or something. Like not really a babyface, but not really a heel as well. Just someone that really wants the title. So, and night one concludes with the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. And the Bloodline, much like we said, gets the win. And yeah, as Michael Cole said in the end, Cody was screwed. The final boss gets the pin over Cody Rhodes, which I don't think any of us predicted. I said it was going to be something on Seth Rollins. I don't quite remember what you said, but I also think it was someone pinning Seth. But
yeah, but it makes sense because it sets up Roman versus Cody, as I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. They're face to face, and it kind of made Seth look better when he lost the title too.
Yeah, and it stacked the odds even further for Cody, I guess.
And it kind of like continued this storyline of, okay, Cody went for three crossroads at WrestleMania. He got spiked and then speared and then lost. He went for three crossroads in this match, and then he got hit by the belt that says Mama Rhodes on it. And then got speared, rock bottomed, and people's elbowed, and lost the match. Like, I liked the story. Like, it told multiple stories. It hit on multiple beats, and that's The Rock taking a table bump. I did not expect that.
The match was weird because it started off really slow. It started off much like Rock versus Cena 12 years ago, basically, in which it was a very slow match in terms of like test of strength, all of that. When Rock came in, that is, test of strength, all of that really slow type of wrestling just to get
the
build up.
You know what was the most surprising for me?
What?
We didn't see Solo Sikoa at all in night one. Really.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder if they are sort of not liking where he's at right now. Because like he has this sort of persona as like the silent enforcer. But at the same time, like it's hard to be the silent enforcer when you're smaller than Jimmy Uso. So I don't know. It feels like the character doesn't really suit him right now. And maybe that's why they went and got the other Faru as well. Like we were discussing, because Batman's a unit. He's a goddamn unit, man. He
So,
can be the new Silent Enforcer of sorts.
what did you think of The Rock kind of flexing, well, in kayfabe, flexing his like corporate muscle and in basically making it a no DQ match by bullying the ref? What did you think of that?
I thought it was great, man. Like, heel Rock just doing all of that, like pushing the ref aside, grabbing the ref, he said, "If you count, you're fucking fired, man." It came to a point in which the ref was like, he was looking at Cody and like, "I'm sorry, man, there's not really much I can do here."
Yeah, the commentator
It's
said that.
like,
If you missed that, the ref just went over to Cody and apologized. Like,
yeah,
that was pretty
I
good.
thought it was great. Overall, the match was really good. I didn't think it was the best wrestling match because, again, like Rock really
Was
looked
really
slow
good,
at
dude.
times.
The Rock
I
looked better than I thought he was going to look. A lot better.
He also looked better than I thought he would look, but he still looked sort of slow. He didn't move at the same speed. You could see that the moves, the muscles didn't move at the same speed. Overall, his body didn't work the same way, his athleticism. I thought it was really funny that he has lost a lot of flexibility and has gained as much muscle that when you get the double pedigree, like Rollins is grabbing Roman. Like in a natural pose
Oh,
of
my
a
God,
pedigree.
you did. You definitely saw that, dude. But
Then you look at Cody Rhodes and like Rock's arm just won't go any further back. It's like they are in a very weird position. And I thought it was like the funniest pedigree.
it sounds crazy, but I also think at the same time, yes, he wasn't as flexible, but I think he sold moves better than Roman at times.
I mean, Rock has always been one of those wrestlers that sells great. Like back in his prime, back in the whole feud at Austin and all of that, he always sold great. And in this one, I mean, he sold great as well. I mean, the spear in which Seth saved Cody and Roman hits the spear on Rock. I mean, that's just a meme face worthy, but a great sell from him nonetheless. He sold great on every move that Seth dropped on him. He sold great on the table spot that Cody did the rock bottom to. Just getting the whole rock bottom on Rock through a table was nuts, as you said as well, and we commented in our chat. But yeah, like overall the match was very good. The story was very good. I didn't think it was a technical masterpiece. I didn't think the moves were like
Neither
through
was
the
Sami
roof, and that's.
Zayn and Gunther, though.
I think
Neither.
just having the brain buster, man, really did the whole thing for me.
Man.
That move, just I was in awe when I saw that. I definitely didn't expect to see, I didn't expect to see that move, so I was in awe. Maybe that's why I'm a bit more biased towards that match than this one. Both were great. I mean, this match had like three times the amount of time that Sammy and Gunther had. So, yeah. So in the end of it, Roman hits the spear. Rock hits the rock bottom, follows it up with the people's elbow with like the crossing sign on the neck. Pins Cody for the 1-2-3, and the Bloodline wins. I was shocked that he didn't go for Mama Rhodes and gave her the belt. I thought that could have happened, and it really didn't. So yeah,
I
but
think they're saving that for whenever Cody faces The Rock. I don't. Here's my spoiler. I don't think that's one match. I think that's a trilogy.
do you think? Nah, I can't see a trilogy, man. That
Yeah,
would imply
it's gonna be
that
a trilogy. It's gonna be a trilogy. I'm
Rock
telling you.
ain't wrestling 4 or 5 times a year, man.
He doesn't need to wrestle 4 or 5 times a year. He needs to wrestle three.
No. I think it builds to Mania 41 with Rock Roman, and maybe you see one match at SummerSlam of Rock Cody. That's the most that you will see. Which leaves the bloodline in a very weird scenario right now. But I guess we can address that when we finish the review. Okay, so night one, done. We go to night two, and night two starts with a banger. First, it starts with Stephanie McMahon, which I thought was very surprising.
Yeah, that was
weird. Yeah, like, I definitely didn't expect to see her back, since she seemed to be involved in some of Vince's shady stuff. At least she was mentioned in, like, the lawsuit going on against him for all of those allegations. We don't need to get into that. But really shocked to see her there. I think it was also, there were rumors of, like, a divorce between Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. That was definitely put to rest now, it seems. So, yeah, she opens up Mania of Night 2. Triple H opened Mania of Night 1, so that's a nice little contrast. And it starts with Drew versus Seth. And I almost got you, man, with the quick squash. Almost.
I thought you were so right.
Yeah,
when he started Claymore. With the Claymore, I was like, oh, no.
It got Alex me. Had the script.
He got me. Yeah, Alex had the script.
The literal script. I am like in this instance, I really had the script. But no, he kicks out at two, which would have been a great call by
that
me.
That was a great.
But yeah, the match. Again, I thought that Seth was really hurt as well, and this was a finisher fest. Like
it was.
I lost
it very
count.
Much was.
Yeah, I lost count the amount of stumps and claymores that I saw. So,
or attempted stumps and attempted claymores.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, Drew won the title in a very strong fashion, I think. They really did well for Seth here. Really protected them by having him kick out of the claymore a bunch of times. Like the fighting champion that never wanted to go down and was clearly hurt from trying to stop the bad guy.
Yep.
Just before we go any further, if this is the Avengers, I saw this today and I really agree with this. If what we have at Mania was the Avengers, I think Seth is likely Iron Man, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was the guy who... No, I was going to say, he was the guy, if you go back 10 years, he betrayed this team just for personal glory and just to get that limelight, that spot in the big stage of the company and being the face of the company. And now 10 years later, he's the guy who sacrifices himself to try and stop the bad guys from running WWE. And after that, he has to defend his title as well here. He's fighting on all fronts, and he really made the ultimate sacrifice. So I think it really was Iron Man and this whole Avengers meet WWE.
I agree. No, I agree, because not only did he have this match, he literally had this match after being the last thing we saw the previous night. He was in two separate storylines leading up to this Mania with the tag match and with Drew. And by the way, both of them were amazing. I think I saw some people like online saying that Seth doesn't come across as genuine. And I actually agree with that, because he does sound like he's acting. But there, and you can say that's character work or whatever, but there's no denying Seth is one hell of a worker. He puts on one of the best matches in almost every pay-per-view he's in, and not very many people I think could have pulled off two build-ups, two matches. Both of them were amazing and with great payoffs.
This could be a bit like recency bias, but I really think it's the Shawn Michaels of our time. He might not have the record in terms the WrestleMania record, but he really is Mr. WrestleMania, because like I can recall, just by thinking of Seth Rollins, of like massive WrestleMania spots that he could have either won or lost. Shawn didn't always win, but he had the memorable moments. And so does Seth. Like, if you go back, it's like on the same night in which he gets RKO, that RKO from the stomp by Randy. On that same night, he goes in and cashes in the Money in the Bank for, like, the heist of the century. You have this Mania spot as well. You have the Mania spot versus Cody Rhodes that stole the show as well as last year. I mean, you just have a bunch of great moments by Seth. I really think he's Mr. WrestleMania.
He took the final chair shot at the main event.
Yeah, we'll get there as well. We'll get to that one. And yeah, Drew wins, hits the Claymore for the win, like, I don't know, the 10th Claymore for the win. And then he goes out there and he starts, he's very emotional. He finally gets the win that he deserves in front of the fans, because his first title match that he won at Mania was in COVID. After carrying the whole company for COVID, he goes out there and he has the big win in front of the fans. And then he goes out and thanks his wife, all of that. And then he starts mocking up CM Punk. And he does, like, the crotch chop, the ex-crotch chop, basically, to Punk. And Punk loses it. Punk drags him down. He beats him with the thing that he had securing his pec. I think pec, wasn't it his pec that he tore? Or was it another
Cody?
Muscle?
Yes, it was.
No. I'm saying a Punk. Which?
No, no,
what
no.
Did
no,
he
it was
tear?
The, he tore. It wasn't
tricep.
Tricep. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the same tricep that apparently he hurt in AEW.
No. Yeah. So he takes out the thing that is holding that up, hits through with it. And out of nowhere comes Damian Priest cashing the Money in the Bank. I definitely didn't expect that. And I really popped hard for that. I'm not the biggest Priest fan, but
What did I tell you? If there was going to be a cash-in, this was going to be the match, not the main event.
Yeah,
boom!
And it was a great cash-in.
Boom!
Great cash-in. And it's not even for Priest, because I'm lukewarm for Priest. But it's just like the sheer amount of storytelling between McIntyre, of like McIntyre having such an hatred towards Punk that even after he won, he had to go rub it in. He had to focus on Punk more than actually winning the title. And that eventually costs him the title again by interference of Punk. And it's just great storytelling, man. And like,
Punk being like, couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Yeah. And then just going back and forth on social media. Now Punk having the picture of the Flash crew when Grant Gustin is looking down on the grave. That meme that is fairly popular.
Oh, yeah, the Flash meme.
Yeah, that Drew was using quite a bit. Now Punk has flipped it, and it's him on Drew's grave. Just great storytelling between the two guys. I think when they eventually meet at probably SummerSlam, I think that is just gonna feed families. That's just gonna be such a great match. And such a great build-up as well. But yeah, great opener here. I really liked it. And that's followed by the match that we both were sort of like, we don't care. In the pride of Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. Versus the Final Testament.
I took my bathroom break during this. I couldn't tell you anything in this match other than kendo sticks were used. That's what I can tell you.
Versus Karrion Kross, Akeem, and Razor. I mean, I'll give them one thing. This was very the Pride one. So Bobby Lashley and the other dudes won. Okay. I'll give them one thing, because this was very clearly the one matchup in which like WWE knew that they were sort of lukewarm on, like they didn't really like them all that much. No fan was really that big into this matchup. And they bring out Bubba Ray Dudley and Snoop Dogg just to comment the match. Bubba Ray is the special guest referee, and Snoop Dogg is the guest commentator. And it just sort of made the match a bit more tolerable. You probably didn't watch it, as you just said. But it was sort of an okay thing. Like, the match wasn't great, but the added-on from Bubba Ray and Snoop Dogg really did wonders for the match. Something that would have been a nothing burger became a nothing burger with extra toppings. That made it cool.
It was cool. I got nothing.
Yeah. Again, the match was sort of cursed, as I said on our chat, because I left my ass off when the Pride got, I think it was Karrion Kross, on a table, because he did the whole Devon get the table spot that the Dudley Boys usually did.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the table in, they put Karrion Kross in there, and just as Angelo Dawkins was about to jump, the table breaks. They have to give a beating to Karrion Kross, get another table, put the table in, set it up, then you can do the finisher. I thought it was just an overall fun match. It's the worst match of night two, but still, fun match. And that's followed by LA Knight versus AJ Styles, in which LA Knight gets the win over AJ. I thought we both said that, so pretty straightforward match here. The match overall was... What did you think of the match overall?
I actually liked it a lot.
Hmm.
I thought that it was a good... I cannot get over how... Like, AJ looks like he's on roids, dude. Like, how different he looks.
He really does. But I mean, maybe it's just, you said that part of why he looks as buff as he does is just doing a whole lot of push-ups prior to going into the matchups. I mean, he looks big, uh-huh. He looks healthy, he looks strong. I don't want to go into the whole idea that maybe he is doing steroids. He might very well be
like
doing so.
I just said he looks like
that. But yeah, it looks like $100. Like, the change from prior AJ Styles is really showing. But the match overall, like, it was okay. I didn't thought it was a masterclass. I thought it was a solid match. Overall, just... It didn't need to be all that great, to be honest. Like, in the spot in which they were, like, there were not a whole lot of opportunity. I mean, they had, like, 12 minutes for the match. So they managed to get their spots in. They had a few good spots in. The 450 splash attempt from AJ Styles that ends in LA Knight just getting the knees up. That looked very tough on both competitors. But yeah, an overall decent match. Didn't thought it was a world beater.
I don't know if you noticed this, but AJ tried to do a few of his finishers from other promotions. Like the springboard 450 was his finisher in TNA, I believe.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He did the calf crusher. He tried the Styles Clash. He did a lot of different things during this match. A lot of different callbacks to like his time in other promotions.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great worker. His spot on the company is sort of weird, though. Because right now you have a lot of storylines going on. And maybe when the draft comes, maybe he can switch up to Raw or SmackDown, wherever Sammy goes. And maybe be a guy that faces Sammy. I think that those matchups would be really good. But right now, he's sort of stagnated. I think there's a whole lot of talent in the company. And there's a lot of guys with weird spots right now. And AJ is one of them. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from this.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like them confirming that, yes, they have faith in LA Knight moving forward.
You have more faith in LA Knight than I do.
Wow. I can't even give that a yeah.
This guy. Yeah. This guy. Yeah, I'm just not the biggest. Like, I like his character, but he just doesn't do anything super special for me. That's just it. Like, sort of indifferent towards him. Like, cool catchphrase, all of that. The finisher is sort of meh. But yeah, he's an okay character. That's about as much as I can say. And that gets followed up by the triple threat match for the US title. And we get Logan Paul with a prime bottle once again, which this time around was not KSI, but I show speed. Very weird.
I couldn't believe that.
I did not understand why it was speed, but okay.
So the first thing I said when I saw the prime bottle go out is I noticed that the sleeves were darker. I was like, oh, they're trying to do a callback to KSI, and it's not KSI in there, and this is a callback. And they're going to do something else screwy. And I ended up being right on that part, but no one else ended up coming up. But I do not understand for the life of me why IShowSpeed was barking at Randy Orton.
That's just one of the things that he apparently does on like streams and all of that.
Barking?
Yeah. He's a strange individual. I'll say that much. Like, I only know of him because I follow KSI at times, and he's involved in that sometimes. And because I'm Portuguese, and he is a very big Cristiano Ronaldo fan, so that's the full extent of the speed knowledge that I have. And he's a very weird character, I'll tell you that much. And part of his thing is, like, barking. Very weird guy. But yeah, that sort of came out of nowhere. I don't think he has any sort of like business relationship with Prime. So I don't know. Feels like they are just bringing in YouTubers.
What did you think about the Prime hydration station?
Jesus Christ, dude. There were so many ads. Funny enough, the one ad hydration that station. Yeah, the one ad or the one like promotional thing that didn't really draw a lot of attention, at least in my eyes, and didn't really steal a whole lot of the spotlight, was the prime bottle in the middle of the goddamn ring. That didn't really do a whole lot. But like, well, every single piece of promo, it's like in the ring, the turnbuckles, in the ropes, and I don't know, every single where. And then you had the prime hydration station or whatever, where Rock was basically just taking... On night one, he was just sitting there taking water breaks or something like that. I thought it was just
the weirdest. Well, you need the hydration station there in case you want to spit something in your opponent's face.
Obviously. Yeah, of course. That's probably where I asked got some of the mist as well when she used that on the tag match. But yeah, overall, like the matchup ended with Logan Paul getting the pin over Kevin Owens with a spectacular frog splash. I need to say that. Just great elevation, great athleticism by him, great display of athleticism. And yeah, that's sort of played in the same way that I expected. Like, just Logan getting the win. Not the cleanest of wins, because that seemed like Randy's moment, and then he takes out Randy and steals the win, basically. But it played out much like I thought it would. Like, all three of them.
I have no idea when Logan is losing that belt, because he's not losing that belt at SummerSlam.
I really think it's SummerSlam, man.
He loses in Cleveland
because he's a heel. I'm not so sure if Cleveland's going to be behind him.
It's Cleveland.
Yeah, man, but it like...
It's you're the Browns. Logan Paul is way more successful than anything the Browns have had in the last two decades.
But he's also a very shitty individual, man. And it, like...
So are the Browns.
Yeah, but it's like football fans and wrestling fans are sort of different. And I'm not necessarily sure if just because he's from Cleveland, the Cleveland wrestling fans will be on his side. Yeah, but Miz is actually like
a decent
human being. Like, I think wrestling fans sort of are not super keen into like Logan not being an actual wrestler. They're still going with that. Plus the
Who would you take, Logan or Deshaun?
Dude. Logan. God. Like, one thing is scamming people. The other one is allegedly scamming people. The other one is whatever Deshaun Watson did. Let's put it that way.
So you really doubt that Cleveland would cheer Logan Paul?
Yeah, I still do, because again, it's wrestling fans versus football fans.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think he loses that at SummerSlam.
I don't. I think we're looking at him holding this title into like fall, maybe even into WrestleMania 41.
Mm. I have a tough time saying that because I really don't understand what the title does for him.
I have a tough time saying that. They just finished Roman Reigns' 3-year title run. Gunther had a 2-year title run. Seth Rollins just finished a 1-year run basically with the World Heavyweight Championship. Oh, no, yes. Don't get me wrong. It's well within the cards, buddy, that he holds this title up into WrestleMania 41.
When you look at Gunther, he held the title as long as he did because they had to build him as an actual threat for the world title. I mean, when you're looking at Logan, I don't really think they're going for any of that. It's like they are mostly just putting the title on him because at a time there was no really good place to put the title on. And I think
on him because he's a worldwide celebrity and he's going to have that championship at different places.
Yeah, but he doesn't need it though. Like,
he doesn't need it, but he's literally like the owner of the guy who has the logo in the center of the ring. The owner of the product that has the logo in the center of the ring. Like,
I think he's just really holding up the belt while there's no really major guy to take it on. And I think one guy that will eventually make the jump to the main event roster, it's Braun Breaker. And I think him having the first run as the U.S. champion, it's probably where we're heading. And it could happen at SummerSlam.
Already, if you say so. I don't think he's losing that. Like, I'm not predicting this man to lose unless I see like a compelling storyline that it makes too much sense for him to lose. I don't know. Like, what are you gonna do? Just have Gunther destroy him? I could see that. If that was the match, I could see that. But if you're telling me that he's gonna go into this match facing like Kevin Owens or even Randy Orton or Like who's going to dethrone him? Braun Breaker? That it would have to be someone like that.
I think it's Braun, to be honest. That's the name that I gave you prior. I think Braun has to be the one that breaks that.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. I know this. I'll be in one of those draws before that. I wouldn't be surprised if Logan wasn't in, because the few weeks prior is in Ohio. I wouldn't be surprised if Logan's in the one in Dayton. Anyway, moving on.
That match then, it's followed by Bayley versus Io Sky. Bayley beats Io. Another dent on damage control here. And she finally gets her moment in the sun. I believe she was the last of the four horsewomen to get that WrestleMania moment. Becky had it, Charlotte had it, Sasha had it. And now it's finally Bayley's time. And yeah, I don't know where we're going from this, but it's definitely deserving for her.
Io took so much. Like, Bayley looked like she was wrestling very stiff with Io. Io took a lot of damage.
She did take a lot of damage. And the matchup was okay. I think at that point, the folks that were just wanting to get on to Roman and Cody, it's understandable. Like, Mania being two nights, there's part of it in which it's good. There's other parts in which sometimes it drags a bit too much. But yeah, overall a decent match. Bayley put a few good moves in. Io did a few good moves. It was a very straightforward match. I don't really have a whole lot to say here. Because at this point, I was also wanting to get on to the Cody Rhodes matchup as well. So, but I'm happy for Bayley. Bayley got what she so much deserved for such a long time. And yeah, I'm happy that she got it. She's not a champion. I'm intrigued to see where this goes from here. Because damage control being done, if this is really it for the damage control storyline, I don't know where else she has right now. But again, I think they will have the draft soon enough. So maybe it makes up a few things here and there. What did you think overall?
I think it was a good match. I think it was a good match from start to finish. I think Bayley, but then again, it really played on the fact that Bayley was the one who was shunned from damage control, that she worked so stiff. There was a lot of really good moments. Io took a lot of really rough bumps. I think it was a good match from start to finish.
Yeah, just overall pretty good. That's the best way to put it. Pretty good and got a rewarding moment out of it. So not much you can ask for other than that. And now, finally, to conclude it all, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Oh. For the WWE. I put another W in that.
The WWWWE.
And go to www.wwe.wwe. For the WWE Universal Championship, which now has been called by most people the Undisputed WWE Championship. I think eventually they will just go down to the WWE Championship. And what a match, man. And what a story, just in general. First, the entrances were great. Cody comes out with a mask. We see Brandy. Is it Brandy or is it Bandy? It's Brandy, right? Her wife, Brandy Rhodes. Yeah, Brandy. We see Brandy coming to the ring with him. Nice moment. I hope she doesn't become a character because I didn't necessarily love her at AEW. But just for like a few spots here and there, she's pretty good. And great entrance by Roman as well. Just overall great entrances. Then you get to the match, and it's fairly straightforward for the most part.
It was a roller coaster, dude.
No, for the start, I'm saying for the start.
Oh,
it was
for
just
the start.
A typical wrestling match between the two. We were sort of wondering when the surprises would come in. Then Cody gets into the spot for the crossroads, hits the first one, hits the second one. And out comes Jimmy Uso. Jimmy beats him up, hits a super kick, and then you get one of the Avengers coming. You got Jay coming in. Jay comes in, beats up a bit.
You want to know something sad?
That was better than that match, wasn't it?
That's what I said. That one spot at the main event that Jay did to Jimmy was...
It was.
Was better than the whole match.
Man, I agree. It really was. But yeah, he hits him with a spear. Very, very scary stuff with the spear, at least I felt like at the time, because you really didn't see where they were going. You couldn't really see anything like below the ring part or the ramp part. But yeah, they land on the table with the spear, takes them both out. A bit more of a match going on. Cody goes once again for the crossroads. Hits the one, hits the two, and it's Solo. I think Solo messed up the timing there a bit because you could see Cody sort of stop it a bit and look around. But I guess it sort of can play into the story as well. He was sort of hoping that no one would interfere in this time, and then out of nowhere comes Solo. Hits the spike, much like WrestleMania of last year. Beats him up, gives the spike and spear combo.
I thought it was over at that.
I thought it was over. Cody kicks out again. Out comes the second Avenger in John Cena. John Cena comes in, takes out Solo.
The place erupted when his music hit.
Yeah, for sure. Solo also sort of botches that a bit because he turns around to the rope prior to the clothesline hitting from John. So nice little blunder there from Solo. Then hits the AA on Roman, which I didn't really like. I was sort of hoping that like the interferences from Cody's side would all just be for taking out the interferences from Roman. But in the grand scheme of things, like it wasn't that close to the end of the match to really make any sort of difference. Then he goes out, it's the AA on Solo through the table, takes another one of those out. Then comes the final boss, just dropping the F-bomb every single time, saying fuck here, fuck there while he was going to the ring. They, Cena and Rock, reminiscence of WrestleMania 28 and 29. Cena hits the You Can See Me, Rock hits rock bottom, says get the fuck out of my ring, which I like. Then the Shield music hits, and for a minute,
what did you think?
I thought Dean Ambrose was about to come. I was like, oh my god, Triple H got him somehow, some way. Wishful thinking, of course. But for a minute, man, for a minute, I hope. I didn't really like, and I wanna get your take in this. Did you like how they shot that? Because I really didn't. Really took away from that moment for me. You really couldn't see anything outside of Rock. They should have had a bit more of a wider pan because you didn't really see Seth until he got Superman punched in the face. And that just sort of, he went there to get punched, not fucked, and went out of the way. So I really thought they were really playing into Dean there. Just because if you saw Seth, it would take a bit away from the moment. Not a whole lot because it's still influential and it's still like it plays a part to the story that he had with Roman using the Shield costume and all of that. But yeah, didn't really like how they filmed it.
There's a reason he did that, and that comes later. That comes later.
Yeah. So Seth is out, and Rock is back to trashing Mama Rhodes, taking out the belt, the Mama Rhodes belt, about to hit Cody, and out of nowhere, the bells ring, it goes dark, and when it goes, lights come on. Oh,
it was
sorry.
Dark and you're the dong.
Yeah, you're the dong. And lights come back on, and it's the Undertaker. Undertaker. Everyone wanted Stone Cold. We got Undertaker, which is still pretty good. Hits the chokeslam, goes out. And then you're left with the last three men. And it's Roman, it's Seth just squirming in pain, and it's Cody on the other side. And Roman, I really like that part of the match. Roman has two options there: finish Cody Rhodes with a chair shot to the head, or payback on Seth Rollins from 10 years ago and hit him right in the back. Yeah,
there it is.
Shield custom and all. And he looks at both options, and in the end, he hits Seth Rollins. Payback for Plan B 10 years ago. And it really calls back to what Seth said to Cody in the Raw prior to Mania, or the week prior to that one even, which was, let me be your shield. I'm the only one that can be your shield. And the shield he was. It took the share shots. Roman then goes for Cody. Cody counters the spear. It's the one crossroads. It's the two crossroads. And it's the third crossroads for the 1, 2, 3. And the crowd goes wild. Thoughts?
I think there was multiple storylines in play there. You saw... Obviously, you mentioned it, Seth and Roman's history coming into play because Roman could have taken the win or hit Seth, and he chose to hit Seth. You saw kind of the Rock with Undertaker, where Undertaker is kind of like, I guess, transitioning to the Phantom of WrestleMania, like he is WrestleMania. And the Rock sold that choke slam. That was good. You saw John Cena get his comeuppance on Solo Sikoa for the Saudi Arabia event where he got spiked like 100 times and AA him through the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so many great moments. It was like watching the end of a video game. Like
it was
really summed up. The celebration was crazy. Like
that might have been the loudest pop that I've ever heard from a crowd. Was the 1-2-3 Cody wins, and then it just picture perfect when yep. Samantha is calling out the winner, and she's like, she's in tears almost, trying to have a voice there, and the voice just constantly cracking down while she's trying to announce the winner. You have Michael Cole also very emotional there, saying that he remembers him from way back. He remembers him from one of the Hall of Fame speeches. Remembers looking at him and thinking this could be a star, that he was frustrated and then left, and then did a whole other things outside of the company, came back, won the title. I mean, almost shed a tear myself when that happened. You what?
I did.
Yeah. I was on the edge.
It was going to happen, dude.
Yeah. Part of why, if I had how do I put it? If it wasn't, and it wasn't obvious, but if it wasn't so implied that he would win, maybe I would, but right, I was this close. And every time I watch the moment, I go back to that same feeling. And I think that's part of why wrestling is so great. And Michael Cole said it best, I fucking love professional wrestling. Just such a great moment. Everyone comes out to celebrate with him. He's with his mom. He's looking to the skies for Dustin. Just such a great moment, man. And in the end, Roman loses the title. Part of the reason why is Seth. Seth, 10 years ago, turns his back on them to win the title. 10 years after that, Roman is the tyrant going wild, and he sacrifices everything to stop him. He's the only person that actually beat him, Roman, during his reign in Rumble 22, but it was via DQ, and it's just the thorn on the side of Roman. And in the end, that's what did him wrong. And Cody got the win, and Cody's the champion. And yeah, he finished the story. Just another thing from Michael Cole, and great call that he had throughout all of the event, but especially in the main event. When they are counting the 1-2-3 for Cody, he says in like basically synchronized with the 1-2-3, finished the story, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, just such a great moment. Triple H comes out, he thanks everyone. Cody, the production crew, he thanks Michael Cole, he thanks Khan, the one good Khan in the crowd. They then go and give him, when he's at the presser, they give them the Rolex that Dusty pawned all those years back when he had to pay for Cody Rhodes' acting classes. So they go and get the same watch and give it to Cody. It's just such so great moment.
They from brought Stardust, out Triple H. I could have swore Triple H was in tears.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was. Like, it was.
Something we didn't, like, mention during the Drew McIntyre thing is just how distraught Seth looked at losing the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, the way he acted after losing that match, it looked like he lost a part of him. He did a really good job of making that feel important. And like, he really cared about that.
I mean, that title was created because no one could take the titles away from Roman. And Seth basically built the title up. Like, he made that title worthwhile. And he made people want that title. He was wrestling everyone. He was wrestling constantly for like a full year. He wrestled, if I'm not mistaken, in every single pay-per-view. And in plenty of Raws and all of that, just for the title. I mean, it's the Worksman's title, so he made it mean something out of basically thin air.
Yeah.
So just a great event overall. Like, it finishing up with Cody Rhodes. And, like, if you followed wrestling back when Cody started, and to go from all of his characters when he was at his highs with Legacy, dashing Cody Rhodes being meh, then that old instances in which he was wearing the mustache and all of that, in which he looked a bit better, and he had the big run with the IC title, bringing back the white stripes for the IC title, going to Stardust, having that old program that he didn't really like, but he endured, purely because he thought he could come out of it a bit better and with a better place in the company. Having to leave, going to New Japan, going to Ring of Honor, doing all of the indies, really maturing himself, building up AEW, like remembering the first main event that they have where he breaks the throne of Triple H. But it really felt like he did all of that. But the main goal was always this, was coming back and getting what his dad couldn't and finishing up. It's not just his story. It's his family story, and it's his dad's story in a part. Mm-hmm. And he went ahead and finished it, and the fans are behind him. Now, I'm not sure how long it takes. Babyface champions are weird in a sense of which, like, you are very over when you win. But it gets a bit boring after that. So I'm not sure if this will be the longest of reigns. But this was definitely... You might have an argument that this is or isn't the best WrestleMania ever. But this might legit be the best WrestleMania moment ever. Mm-hmm. Cody winning it. The biggest of pops. Samantha just couldn't hold up anything and just stumbling through the announcement. Commentators crying. Paul crying. Paul Levesque. I'm sure that even Paul Heyman cried when he went to the back. Because it is really that big of a moment. And there's not much more to say here. Great match, great moment. Really TV, cinema type of stuff.
Yeah, it's a great moment. Best moment I've ever seen. It felt like, I don't know who posted this, but someone posted something about this felt like the series finale of wrestling.
And it was. I mean, it was such a great moment, man. Just in general. Yeah. Feel good moment. And just major props, and Raw was singing that last night. Just thank you, Roman. I think this reign of his will be remembered better than what people thought at times, because at times people wanted this to be done. I wanted this to be done quite a few years ago. And he wasn't defending it a whole lot, but he really made... He was part of the reason as to why wrestling became cool again. And like for a whole chunk of time, like the Bloodline was the one thing that kept WWE going. Like, you had basically no one else or nothing else of big relevance. But the Bloodline was just such a big and long, very long segment that it kept WWE around, especially when AEW was having that surge. Mm-hmm. So I think this title reign will be remembered more fondly than what people felt at times while it was going on. But yeah, just can't take nothing away from Roman. It's a top three. I believe it's the third longest reign ever, only behind San Martino and Hulk Hogan. So great stuff all around, and that concludes WrestleMania. I'm interested to see where Cody goes from here, because one of the things that he did was basically throughout all of a year and change, he was getting allies. There was no one that really didn't like Cody. He was just trying to gather as many allies as he can. And now it's sort of like, is anyone gonna like betray him? What's going to happen here? Because there's not really a whole lot of people that I can see going for the title right now. And I'm interested to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's a good question. I don't know who Cody, who would be a good first like storyline for Cody to go up against, or good opponent for Cody to go up against for the title.
Like, you have Randy, of course. You have the legacy connections, but I think it's too soon for the heel turn for Randy. You have Rock, but Rock, now we can talk a bit about the Raw segment. Rock had an almost 45-minute segment where he basically said, Rock has to go now, which very much felt like, I have to go to my planet now. And he's like, yeah, Rock's going to have to go now. But one time, Rock's going to come back for you, whether you have the title or not. He asks Cody to hold on to his belt for a bit, and then it gives him something to his hand. That segment felt really awkward. Like, the crowd was chanting, this is awkward, at a point there, which I sort of laughed quite a bit. And it finishes with Rock handing something to Cody on an handshake, and then saying, never break the Rock's heart again. And what in the actual fuck was that, man? Maybe we'll get an explanation down the line, but that was weird as fuck, man. Oh, I gotta say.
We'll get an explanation, the Rock will deliver it, and it'll be great. Everyone's gonna be eating it up, and they'll have this long, drawn-out promo where it says, the Rock gave Cody Rhodes something very, very important to the Rock. It means a lot to the Rock. It's something that has been in the Rock's lineage and family for the last 50 years. And let me tell you, when I tell you what this thing is, the Rock is going to beat Cody for it. It's going to be a long, drawn-out promo.
The whole first part of it really felt like that promo that he had with Cena back in 20, or with CM Punk. I think it was almost very similar to that, like something that was in Rock's family for a very long time. That's something... is that, and points to the title. And it's like, okay. So we'll see what that is. But yeah, this sort of leaves Cody in a weird space, which is trying to figure out, like, Seth is going out, Drew is busy with Punk. I don't really see anyone in the bloodline, and the whole bloodline is also sort of weird right now. If Roman goes out, what happens? I'm not so sure what happens, because my thought was that Rock would kick Roman out of the bloodline, but apparently, like, he's going away for a little while.
You know, like I was waiting because there was this moment after Roman left or was outside the ring, and the Rock had Cody or the belt that said Mama Rhodes, and I was like, he's going to whip him with it, isn't he? He's going to whip him with that belt that says Mama Rhodes, and he didn't.
And I was like, no fireworks.
Yep.
And yeah, this, I don't know, leaves a few open spots here. Maybe it's Gunther, but
I think they need to listen. If I would save Gunther for when you want to get the title off of Cody, because I think beating Cody would just make him feel like that much more important.
The only thing I was going to say, that it's also too soon for Gunther to take the pins, but maybe they could build him much like they did Cody. Like, he tried to jump straight into the big leagues, took a beating, goes back, works on his fundamentals, builds himself back up, is floating around the main event scene, has like a year or two where he goes pursue something else, then he comes back for the title. Could be something like that. But right now, it's really weird. Like, the guys that you'd usually expect to be in the main event picture, especially at Hills, are sort of nowhere to be seen. Like, you have Bobby Lashley, you have the Judgment Day, but Priest is with the World Heavyweight Championship right now.
It looks like they're rewarding Jay for his suboptimal match by giving him the first crack at the World Heavyweight Championship.
That was very weird. Like, I understand the story behind it. They really want to build Jay as this main event star, and I guess he has the charisma at times, and the crowd is really behind him. I don't know. I don't really see how that works. But we shall see. We shall see what happens from here on. Maybe in like at this point, I gotta trust Triple H and what he's doing, because he gave us in the first WrestleMania of the Triple H era, he gave us a banger. So yeah, I gotta trust him. We'll see how that goes. And I think that's basically it. Do you have anything else to add on? Or are we out of here?
Nope, we are out of here. Although I do have a question. Alex, tell the fans, how often are we going to be doing this? Host Alex?
Okay, so for wrestling, apparently a bunch of you guys really like the wrestling show. That's what we've been getting from the numbers, at least. So it seems like some of you really, really love it. It's hard to review wrestling in general on a weekly basis, purely because, like, I watch a bit of Raw, but it's mostly the highlights. I'm not sure how much Angela watches it, but I think it's also in a very similar vein, and which is, like, it's not sitting there and watching the full amount of Raw. It's just watching bits of it, isn't it? For the most part, for you?
Yeah, because I'm usually in bed by the time Raw starts. So yeah, I watch bits and pieces.
And very similar to me. So it's like I focus a lot on the pay-per-views. So what we had discussed is for the regular pay-per-views, and we'll say regular, I don't know, like what's coming up next, which is like Backlash and all of that, we will do probably on Mondays until football is back. After football is back, we'll see how that goes. What we'll do on Mondays or Tuesdays in this case, if we can't record on Mondays. But the show will be out either Tuesday or Wednesday for a review of the pay-per-view. When it's a bigger pay-per-view, let's say WrestleMania, let's say SummerSlam, for example, we will do a preview and a review. This is what we're at right now. And we will see how that goes. If you guys still enjoy, great. We'll keep doing it out for you. And apparently, first indications that we got is that you guys are big fans of wrestling. So we didn't know that. But yeah, that's basically it. And that's basically the show. Let us know if you enjoyed it. Just, again, as Angela used to say, there's a nice little donate button there that you can click to help us out. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts, on the Spotify app, just auto downloads on, please. Really appreciate it, and give us a 5-star review as well. We also enjoy those. If you're listening on the YouTubes, just, you know what to do. You've been listening to this all your life. Just turn on the notifications, leave a comment, leave a like, all of those good things. And as always, guys, talk to you, and I guess now, since we're recording on a Tuesday, I talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, we will talk to you tomorrow. Like I said, wrestling is something that I want to talk about when there's something I can really dig my teeth into. I don't want to come on here and talk about it when it's something that I'm just going to, like, you know, mail it in. So when there's interesting storylines going into pay-per-views, that's when we'll have more episodes. When there's not as many things that for us to sink our teeth into, but it's going to be a decent pay-per-view, then we'll just talk about the pay-per-view. That kind of stuff. Anyway, see you guys.